Hi, Decoders. This week, we are talking about the shows that we watch. When you're watching, are you feeding your habitual patterns or pain bodies, as we say? Or are you feeding that light inside of you? We are having a lot of fun exploring that today.
Hi, I'm Kieran Trace. Welcome to Humans Decoded, a story of hobbits, fairies, elves, dwarfs, gnomes, and humans. If you get lost at any point, there is a deep dive on all the different avatars in episode one. It includes notes. Thank you for joining us in a fun little chat about the vast potential of our human makeup.
Hi, Leela. Hi, Cammy.
Hello, everybody. How you doing?
Hi.
You know, Decoders, Leela and I just watched K-pop Demon Hunters again. It was my third time watching it. And wow, I can confidently say it's the greatest show in the world. I was like, oh my God, are the three of us, you know, the K-pop Demon Hunters? You know, because Leela is obviously Mira, you know, the red hair. She's also so long and so lean, and she's this amazing mover. And she's also like a really good kind of like checkmate for both Cammy / Zoe and me. Cammy has to be Zoe because she's just so cute and she's just so full of ideas and she's just so ready and enthusiastic to jump in. She has all the journals with all the true statements anytime we need it. She's got the diagrams and the sayings, which means that I'm probably roomy because, you know, a lot of ideas, a lot of business. I'm kind of leading the crew, but also, you know, kind of part demon.
That one foot in the other world.
Yeah, maybe that's more true. One foot in the other world, quite a lot. Anyways.
So yeah, we want to talk about what we're watching. And I think we often totally underestimate how much what we watch has an influence in a way on our lives. You know, for me, for instance, there's no distance between the movies or series I watch, or even the music I listen to. It's so immediate. So when I do watch something from pain body being, you know, our baggage or a belief system that we have inherited, or just a bit of conditioning. So when I do watch something from pain body, which does happen occasionally, I do really get entangled in it. Like, I love to take a closer look at this with you guys, because it's always this wonderful opportunity to just gain more clarity.
Okay, I think that's a great point that you're bringing up, Leela, because in our self-awareness journey, and here on the podcast, we're talking about a journey of becoming more and more authentic. The more authentic you are, the more connected to yourself you are, right? Like, that just makes sense. And then the more connected to yourself you are, that means the more connected to the world. Like, it's impossible to be connected to yourself and not connected to the world. We've been addressing this recently in other podcasts about, like, are you in a la-la, or is it a fake trance, or the comfort zone of your pain body? Because if you're really becoming more authentic, you're more connected into the present moment and into the world. And so that creates a sensitivity. That's what that is, a really beautiful place of being really sensitive. Okay, not really. I don't know who's defining really. I'm really sensitive. But it is being sensitive enough to hear yourself, which then makes you sensitive to hear others, to hear the world. And it's a really sweet thing that happens when there's more connection to everything. But it's also more connection to the shows you're watching. And, you know, as Leela's saying, it becomes more immediate. It becomes more real. You're experiencing the emotions and sensations that the characters are. So that's just all the more reason that we really want to be aware if we're feeding into what we call that pain body, which is also our baggage, are we just feeding our baggage, or are we feeding the light, the transformation, the authenticity that we're developing in these beautiful connected pathways? Simply by becoming more and more aware of ourselves, we're building these really sweet interconnected paths.
That was beautifully said. And I like how you describe the sensitivity as more connection, because decoders, I think we all know that feeling when we're just doom scrolling, totally disconnected. You've left the room. You're just scrolling past garbage. Nothing's touching you. Versus when you're immersed in a series that lights you up and you feel like you've been someplace, or, you know, you've like transformed by following their journey. And there's that old adage, there's two wolves inside of you. One of them is a fiend for pain body TV. The other one, not so much.
So one wolf is watching all the bad garbage, and the other one is not so interested and would rather have movie night with family. Oh, those wolves.
Exactly.
Okay, I love an old koan modernized. There's two wolves in front of the TV. Okay, so what are we watching? You know, are you petting the wolf that feeds on our demons? Or are we feeding the light? If we're feeding the light, we're like protecting our Hanmoon. That's what they call it in Demon Hunters, the K-pop Demon Hunters. But it's our home. It's the space. It's the space in our being. It's the space in our home. Or are you watching the dark stuff? And I mean, should we do some research around the dark stuff? Should we have done that first? The stuff that everyone's just been loving and eating up?
Yeah, I definitely have to do some research because I have no idea what everyone watches. I don't know.
Okay, wait a second. Wait, okay, cool. I just did the research right now. Okay, wait, I know this. Here it is, download. Here it is. Download. There's that slow horses, there's black doves, I think is another one, like White Lotus. Everybody was watching that 1923 and like Yellowstone, I think. That dude is so dark. Like anything Taylor Sheridan does is so dark. Like, this is not an endorsement. Don't actually watch 1923, but those of you that did watch it, like how dark was that? You know, like each scene was almost like, and then this next scene's going to top how gory that was. And then the next. So, you know, this stuff is just pure guima, as they say in K-pop Demon Hunters language, which is the devil, the guima.
There's also Succession. Everybody was so into that, and it's just narcissists on narcissists, but with a lot of money and power. And then after that, you know, I wouldn't know. I don't watch them.
Yeah, so we do.
Until I have a slip, for example. Yeah, there was this one show that I watched totally from Pain Body. I think it was called Fleischman is in Trouble. And it had Claire Danes in it. And we love her. She's amazing. But it just hit my core don't belong Pain Body so hard. So I just binged the shit out of it. I started watching it at 10 p.m. and just went 4 episodes deep, like straight away. So I was up all night. And it was one of those shows that felt like it grabbed me by the throat, and I was like compelled to complete it. Thank God it was only one season. But I was like, I have to get to the end because surely there's going to be something in it for me. And 12 hours later, I felt used. because it was just fear, nothing but fear. And I kind of hate myself for having sat there for that long ingesting fear. And I thought, like, I'm gonna learn something, but the show didn't give me anything. Like, watching the conclusion wasn't the closure I thought it would be. It was just like, okay, I want to be finished with this now. I need a hug.
I need a hug. Wrong wolf watching.
Yeah. I gave that one a big meal.
I kind of appreciate your hardcoreness, though. Of like, you go in and you stay for 12 hours. I don't think I've ever managed. But my sort of secret vice, is it the word?
Mm-hmm.
Are these romantic, very, very stupid romantic TV shows. Often they're from Latin America or from Turkey. And oh my God, they're so bad. And I go in thinking it'll entertain me because it's so bad. But what it does is it just feeds my romance baggage bullshit. Because there, you know, jealousy and sort of possessiveness and obsessiveness is portrayed as normal. Like, this is what happens when you love somebody.
And bitches then- be cray.
Blah. And then it almost feels like, yeah, as we said before, like their feelings are my feelings. And then I'm sat there with this like huge cloud of, let's say, jealousy sort of growing and feeding on me or feasting on me. I don't know. And it becomes really gross. It becomes a physically gross sensation to keep watching these shows because I start to feel like, I don't know, more and more dead inside, more and more, I don't know, just all this drama that isn't actually my world anymore. So yeah, no bueno.
Okay. This is so embarrassing. So I will say it was about 12 years ago from now, just to save myself. it was 12 years ago. Okay, y'all, the show was called Justified. And oh my God, it was almost like my actual pain body wrote that script. I gave it a pretty decent try there. Man, and it was like so captivating. It was like so juicy. The lead characters was like, oh God, like Timothy Oliphant was like the lead up against like Walter Goggins, you know, and like these are like, for Kieran, like super hot, super hot list. So they were just this like, I don't know, like captivating attractiveness. And then you wrap it around a story of this just evil town. There's nothing in this town but darkness. Like, it's never going to transform. It isn't about transformation. But wow, does Timothy Oliphant's, you know, sheriff try. And he's gritty and he's tough. And it's, you know, he does everything to try to bust it up, but it never actually cleans anything up. And I will say, I was similar to Cam. I may have been like four episodes deep in this, just like, you know how cartoons do the zombie eyes where my eyes just turned into spirals. And like, I don't even think I was properly, I think I was just like pitched on the edge of the couch, you know, and I think I was even watching it like not even on a decent screen, like on my laptop. I was so gripped. And wow, it took me about four episodes of the first season to just like come out of that trance and realize it was just my injustice watching it. I mean, it's literally called Justified. Which is another word for injustice. And anyways, it felt like waking up after a binge hangover, pulling out of that. And oh my God, it was so wild. Like, I remember like literally like coming out of the trance, shaking my head and like walking myself into a quiet meditation space so that I can go and be with my injustice pain body, with the baggage that thinks it's so fucking justified about everything. Wow, was that a humbling experience. It just like so close up and so connected watching this feeding, you know? And, you know, you just start to understand, like, you know, it's the same trance that cocaine can give you. You know, it's the mm-hmm. same kind of like captivation. So we're not underestimating the power of that baggage having a feed. But the highlights, like as Cammy have said, if you're staying up all night, if you have to see it, like the captivation is so there. If you think about it when you're not watching it, if the conclusion just gives you a hangover and then you kind of hate yourself for the wasted time, that's how you know the pain body's feeding.
That's how you know you've taken it to the trough. Okay, so we know what it looks like when you feed the pain body wolf. What's it like when it's a nice show? What's the experience there when, you know, we're feeding the light wolf instead of the grabby, handy pain body one?
Yes, right. Because does that mean it's boring? Does that mean it's a family show and the production values are very meh?
I mean, it can be for sure.
I think it's getting more and more family for me.
Okay. Yes. Which is that connection I was talking about, right? The more we find our own authentic self, the more connection we start to have to everything, not just ourselves. So those family shows suddenly seem to have a little more detail than you remember having them before, and a little more captivation than what the mind used to bounce as boring.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, remember the H2 Mermaid show that we all loved? I think it's on Netflix. I guess from like a normie perspective, it's super boring. We were all captivated for hours and hours and hours by this show. But yeah, what is it when it's a nice show, when it's feeding my light? I don't remember actually these shows because, if I love something a lot, it doesn't retain somewhere. I watch something and then the moment shifts. So I don't watch it anymore. I'm over here doing, let's say, prep for the podcast or recording the podcast. And then it's almost like the show I watched, it's just gone. It dissolved back into where it came from, which is just that, well, ultimately that one field, right? Which in a way it's so great because I can watch all these great movies like K-pop Demon Hunters 4 times without a problem because I forget. It's gone. And I often also do like save the last half hour of the last episode of a series from a show I love because I don't want it to be over too soon. But then I also forget that I saved this last half hour and then randomly I would come back to it. I would find it again, stumble across it. It's like, oh! So just recently, I came across the last half hour of a series from last year, Christmas series. I was like, oh, cool. Nice. What a surprise.
So you might scoff at like, you know, the Hallmark holiday movies, but we want to go out here on a limb and recommend them. Well, 10/10 recommend Korean TV shows. Like, we want to say Attorney Woo, Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha, Tastefully Yours. These are the names of Korean TV shows that are so mwah. Although, sidebar, very sorry that they're so heterosexual biased. The good news, though, is that it's a Korean TV world, so romance between a male and female is just kind of like two people becoming besties. They never get to first base. They just walk around the town square a bunch of times for about 6 months. However, Korean culture overall isn't fully embracing gender fluency and sexuality fluency. So nevertheless, we do recommend it. British Bake Off. And what Lila's describing, what I would say too, it's like when I'm watching the show that is The Light Wolf, it's lighting me up inside with a kind of a sweet presence. And that presence is very similar to what you're feeling in like meditation, you know, like in the way you feel watching a sunset or in the way you feel watching your dog or your loved ones or your plants. It's just this sort of sweet glow. And so these shows kind of promote that meditative space. And then, as Lila's saying, so you're in there and captivated and it's really sweet and it's yummy, but then you can easily go and whatever it is you're doing and it just dissolves into nothingness where it came from. So I think that what happens is it sort of parks that aggressive, loud mind and just lights my space.
Sometimes I've heard you describe it like, you know, it's a babysitter for the mind, like go park there. And then you just kind of sit inside yourself like, I've discovered this kids show called, well, it's for young adults. I think it's called Merlin, and it's an old BBC TV show from 2008, and the effects are really bad. But it's basically like Game of Thrones without the sex and violence. And it's a fantasy, and it's like, I just love it so much. I look forward to it every day. And I love the detail you said, Kieran, about it being so boring. The pain body perceives it as boring. And then when I reflect on why I love Merlin, it's like, it's slow enough that it lets me linger in the details, and it kind of feels like hugging a young kid. Mm. And there's something really wholesome about it. And then for me, there's also like just a sweet appreciation of the making of the show. So the costumes and the writing, and, you know, I can kind of picture everybody banding together to like execute this vision. Although, sidebar, I'm now in season 2 and their budget got bigger. And so the action sequences are a bit more in your face. So jury's out whether it remains totally pain body light, but it's still a really cute show.
Yeah, you know, it's somehow it's in the small details. And really, that's about that more connection. The more authentic we are, the more connection to ourselves, the more neural pathways in our brain. And those neural pathways in the brain, now there's more of them, they pick up detail. Where before, when we're disconnected, the way that our baggage or pain body disconnects us, we bounce from the details. We're not receiving it. It's not being picked in. There's these general washes. So, you know, swinging it always back to K-pop Demon Hunters. As I said, I'm on my third watch. I'm just so in love with Maggie Kang. Because, you know, the details, these small details in K-pop Demon Hunters is so empowering. And the details are these background small bits that are sculpting the environment of a show. And again, the mind bounces off of that. But the more connected we are, we have more pathways to catch all the detail. And in Maggie Kang's case, is actually sculpting a new paradigm, these tiny little details. The girls wear these baggy, oversized clothes. They're not doing skimpy in their ordinary lives. They go out in PJ bottoms and slippers because it's comfortable. They're not focused on, you know, teenage girls looking for sex appeal. Instead, it's comfort. And they eat mm-hmm. eat a lot before a big show. They don't starve themselves for a photo shoot. And they feel, they cry when their fans cry. They're not cool and aloof. And they want couch time. They don't want fancy name brand retreats. So Maggie Kahan's sculpting an environment in this show, but it's actually, she's helping define what we're seeing for young girls as a new paradigm that's an empowering paradigm.
Mm. And is Maggie Kahan the director?
Yes, she wrote it, she created it, she directed it in collaboration, true. But she did the Lego Ninja show and the Kung Fu Panda. She did Rise of the Guardians. She did Puss in Boots. Maggie Kahan shows light your honmoon. They light your inner light, your you know, and I'll say that she kind of really also gets the dark stuff quite good. Those details are not so off the mark. So her shows usually have this very sweet transformation occurring. Anyway, Maggie, I am so your fangirl. Okay, like, call me. I'll help you dial in the details of your next show, okay? So, like, call me. Really, call me.
I would add that stewing in front of a TV show that you know is feeding your pain body is not neutral. I remember I went to the cinema once and watched this horrific yet very artful study of a pain body. And then I told Kieran about it, trying to justify that it was like really artful and it had Ethan Hawke in it and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, what are the consequences? And I went to see it in a big screen and I wanted to walk out because it was awful, but I didn't. And the consequence was that the day after, I just felt really rough, like I couldn't quite get back to myself. So yeah, if you're feeding that pain body wolf, don't fool yourself into thinking it's, you know, it just fine, innocent.
Well, you totally loaded that one up for me to walk right into, Miss Cam, of course. I have to say, at every possible opportunity that I can say it, because it's a soapbox for me, The Wolf of Wall Street is not only a pain body movie, it is the wolf watching the show. It's an active pain body itself. The movie actually infects people who watch it with a kind of a mind fuck that kind of infects the way your mind is thinking. Like it goes in there and it starts to highlight and then begins more and more gravitation towards dark stuff. So the subject matter is obviously humanly revolting. It's just sort of beyond any level of humanity. It's about enormous disconnection. But what makes it an active pain body is the messed up process of the director of that film. The director filmed it from first person. So it's from the psychopath's point of view, right? The film looks out his eyes, but it softened out the psychopath's self-awareness or any inner critic. So what you get is a view of the world through this really violent psychopath who's profoundly disassociated, but there's with no critic of the psychopathic behavior, which is a subtle but authoritative endorsement of these behaviors for 2 or 3 hours. So it is intentionally criminal, which is to say, like, there's a lot of movies that glorify a pain body. I'm not saying that. This film is different. It's an active pain body. Like, it's a pain body itself. I've only ever come across two. Natural Born Killers was one, and this one, Wolf of Wall Street. So, like, you could say, I don't know, any movie that Tarantino ever made glorified pain body. You can point to a lot of directors and say, their whole career was just glorifying pain body. That's what they did. But they didn't create a pain body and then go and infect everyone. Whereas the movie The Wolf of Wall Street is an active pain body that affected everyone, partly because the team behind it lobbied so hard for the Oscar. They paid off everyone and anyone to make sure it was on the Oscar list so that it then infected millions of people who otherwise would have never even heard of the movie. So please never watch this movie or never watch it again. It's reprehensible. I mean, it's fine for anybody, all the humans who are here to become a little more violent, a little more aggressive and more horrifying. And sure, you know, it's Earth. Obviously, that's going on. But decoders, we're talking about the more authentic you become, the more connected and aware you become. So then this movie is a biohazard for you. It will harm you. I mean, it harms everyone who watches it, but you'll be aware of the harm. Mm-hmm. It's going to zing more for you. So I just want to plant a flag right here and say, this is the kind of behavior I have no acceptance for. No, is my no-fly zone. And I will say, like, I'm a pretty open-handed person about a lot. I am so incredibly non-dual. Like, I don't have black and white. I don't have a lot of rules. I don't have a lot of judgment. I'm very here right now. So like the actual psychopath the movie's built around, I could actually sit with him and accept it. I could understand. But I cannot sit or accept how this movie got made and the choices the director made behind it. So no fly zone for me. Perfect example of the actual wolf. And that's the end of my soapbox. Thank you for giving me your attention on that. On the other hand, without any big payoffs, lobbyists, or manipulative marketing, K-pop Demon Hunters, $325 million views to date, which is actually one of the biggest shows of all time, considering its release date, and almost no marketing when it first came out. Almost nothing. Secretly, silently popped out. Even Maggie Kang herself had no idea that it would be a hit, let alone the greatest movie of all time. Wow. I'm just so inspired by that. We should all be so inspired by that. It's like that's a global number. So everyone loves this incredibly uplifted, feed your light show. Also, hugely, hugely globally popular show, British Bake Off. Humanity is not out there eating up all the fucking wolf of Wall Street. The wolves, all the dark wolves. It's not happening. The numbers, the data are showing us otherwise. And isn't that awesome? Isn't that so great? We're going up, up, up. We're coming golden. You know, together we're glowing. We're gonna be golden. If you don't like these deeply beloved shows, I'm gonna point out that it's your baggage. It's your pain body that's likely the one who's bouncing it. British Bake Off, you think it's not your taste? You don't really like cooking shows? It's maybe not your pain body's taste.
Yeah, if you're bouncing off the cooking shows and the K-pop Demon Hunters, go check yourself.
I can already hear the pain bodies starting to argue for themselves. But no, you don't understand.
Okay, we've got links to all of our great shows down below. We love you. And we're all going up, 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 because this is our moment. You know, together we're glowing. We're gonna be golden.
Amen.
That's a big theme song from the show. Watch it if you haven't catched it. We'll be here next week. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
See you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening. We obviously love hearing what you think. Your feedback helps us make a better show for you to listen to. So feel free to comment, and you can do it at Facebook, which is the Humans Decoded Podcast. And if you're not on social, you can always email any questions to us at outreach@kierantrace.com. And thanks for listening. We love you.